Welcome to another episode of Living an Alter Life. This is the exhausted. I'm at 30 hours of moving around in a dome. Mike and my beautiful forever girlfriend, Jenny. Jenny, you
Guys,
want to come give me some legs?
I think it's a long walk, and by the time I got there, I'd be a little worn out, but I know you can do this because it's not even remotely the length of Swami Shuffle. So tell us where you are.
So we are right about at the 30-hour turnaround, and I'm over 85 miles and continuing to add them slowly. And yeah, it's I'm going, I'm still moving, so that's what counts.
Are you remembering the super secret tip someone gave you?
Yeah. Eat before you're hungry, drink before you're thirsty. Sleep before you're tired. So
Awesome.
I may be sleeping after dinner, which are we turn around again here in 12 minutes, and that's when dinner is served. I may eat dinner and lay down for an hour.
And what is
And
dinner tonight?
I have no clue.
Okay,
Last night it
well.
was chicken cordon bleu. Lunch was I had a chicken Caesar wrap. And
Nice.
really nasty salt and vinegar chips that I only ate a couple of. But
Okay.
really nice chocolate chip cookie, so that was nice.
There you go.
And then I went upstairs to the quiet room and laid down for, I was off my feet for 2 hours, so that was good.
Awesome.
And I would say I probably got like little cat naps in there. I put my squeezy boots on, and that helped a lot. But yeah, I mean, everything is just tired and sore. This track surface is definitely hard, but everybody's doing this miles on the same thing, so it's
That's
just
right.
keep moving forward and keep a positive attitude and encourage everybody around you. That's kind of my goal. And
So
then let me
only 5 and a half more days left in the
no ma'am, it's only 4 and a half more days left in the dome.
dome. Oops, that's right. 4 and a half more days left
That's
in the
right.
dome.
Only 4 and a half
Awesome.
more days. Yeah. Say hi to Fiona.
Hi.
That's
Hi.
Fiona Hayvice from New Zealand. She's amazing. So,
Awesome. Getting
yeah,
a
I've met a
chance to chat
lot of.
with more people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've met so many amazing people. Lindsay Walters, who has alopecia and is just doing amazing things. Megan Eckert is here. She did a 19-hour 100-mile 100-miler in
Wow.
a 6-day thing. I think she's like at 144 miles right now. Yeah, so I'm
Wow.
not winning. I'm not
You
I'm
didn't go
down.
to win. You went
Nope.
to see what your body can do.
Yep, and that I am seeing that this is hard stuff, and I can keep moving though. So there's a lot of, 70 and 80-year-old guys in here moving and, doing the 10-day, and they're still moving. So I just look at them and I go, okay, they're still moving. I can keep moving.
Awesome.
So I downsize my goals. I will be happy if I get 300 miles. And,
Awesome.
I figured I did 75 the first day. This, second day has been rather hard. If you think about it, I mean, I've only done 11 miles in 6 hours, but
It's all right, you're moving.
yeah. And but that was a very necessary 2.5 hours sleep, so or off my feet time, so that was good. And yeah, I was able to rinse off and change clothes. That was even
Yes,
better.
that's
Oh
the best.
yeah,
Awesome.
that felt good. So I feel like I knew I would feel. So, this wasn't unexpected. I mean, I've done Swami Shuffle. If you think about it, I'm to the house in Salvo. So that's where
Awesome.
I'm at right now.
All right.
So the lighthouse is still up there in the distance. I hope to get there before 48 hours and then I'll start back. Yeah.
Sounds great.
So that's kind of what I'm gauging everything on is I'm at Swami Shuffle. I'm moving as best as I can, and I'm not the only one that's uncomfortable. I've talked with a lot of people, and everybody says, get comfortable with being uncomfortable, unless you're, one of the top runners like Megan and Meenal. So this Indian gal, we're gonna have her on the podcast because she's like, you got to have Indian ultra runners on your podcast. I said, great, let's start with you. She's like, okay. So we're gonna
Awesome.
have Meenal on the podcast after this thing's over. She's a really, really neat gal.
Cool.
It's fun. The international side, chatted with a guy, Tatsuri Suzuki from Japan.
Right.
He's a professor of sports medicine and physiology. He has two students here, and they're doing their graduate studies by
Nice.
studying his biomechanics.
Cool.
So they created a device that he wears on his back, and it tells him where his balance is and what his biomechanics are. And so they're analyzing it. And of course, they're really excited because after the race is over, they get to go to Chicago and watch Shohei Ohtani, who's one of the best Japanese baseball players, play for the Dodgers against the Chicago White Sox. So I thought that was awesome.
Yay, that's so cool.
I mean, if you think about the international people here, there's people from New Delhi, New Zealand. There was a runner here from Mongolia, Japan, Canada. I mean, people of all shapes and sizes, just out here doing their thing. And, everybody is just very respectful to each other. And I love this ultra running community. I mean, it's just amazing. Ivo just passed me again. He's a race walker from
Cool.
Czechoslovakia. He's
Awesome.
like at 120 miles, I think. So,
Wow.
just walking. I
Yes.
mean, he does not walk at anybody's pace. Like, his walk pace is, I would say, 10, 30, 11. He's amazing. So,
Wow.
I'm just having a lot of fun.
Cool. I am
And I.
so glad. Happy 60th birthday, and we'll check in with you tomorrow night.
You got it. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you.
Love you too, babe.
What else you want to talk about?
Oh, I just like getting an update from you every day and
Yeah.
adding it to yesterday's update. And
That'll be awesome. That'll be good. I think, the biggest thing is, I mean, I'm staying within my game. I've probably run less than, 10 laps today,
but
but I just
sustained
keep
no
on.
injuries.
And I have gone at my pace, and I've raced my race, and
Awesome.
that's what I feel good about.
Love it, babe. Love it.
Yeah.
All
So,
right.
good stuff.
Well, yeah. That's it for this week's episode of
Living and Ultra Life.
Thanks for
Thanks for joining
listening.
us.
Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Jenny, and I'm here interviewing Mike on day four of 6 days in the dome. How's it going,
There.
Mike?
It is going good. I got a nice second wind and laid down about a 5.5 mile segment in an hour. And now I'm paying
Awesome.
for
Oh
it.
my. Okay, I had a thought.
Yeah.
So before we moved to Central Asia, many, many people told us this and this and this and this is going to happen to you. And we said, whatever, that's not going to happen to us.
Yeah.
And it happened.
Yep.
And then before we came back from Central Asia, many people said, this and this and this and this is going to happen to you when you come home. And we're like, nah, that's not going to happen to us. And it did. And then you go off to 6 days in a dome with a goal of a certain number of miles, and someone with great wisdom told you to cut that in half. And you said, nah, I'm not going to need to. Maybe drop 100 miles. What do you think about that right now?
I think that person was very wise, and I am just, it's so much fun. Once I decided to not go after the miles, but go after the reason I was here, it has been like mind blowing. I mean, it has been night and day. I can't even begin to describe the difference of when I just settled into, okay, why am I here? And it has been awesome, awesome beyond belief.
So your original goal was, I want to do 6 days in the dome and get at least 400 miles. What have you settled into as your reason for being there?
So the reason I am here is I didn't even realize this consciously. I mean, I kind of always knew that it was in the back of my brain, but I've always kind of had this imposter syndrome, in the running community because I don't have that sleek runner body. I got a little bit of man boob jiggle and little thing around the middle.
Okay.
And this morning I put on my fashion diva clothes. And I mean, I look good. I just gotta tell you. I mean, green shoes, orange, bright orange socks, black shorts, orange top, and a multicolored hat. I mean, that's like fashion diva, right?
You are
But
always my fashion diva.
because whatever's clean, that's what goes on. But so I, after my friend snapped the picture, I literally went two laps around this building wanting to delete it because I was like, nobody wants to see that ugly body. I mean, I got this spare tire around the middle. Like, I got man boobs. I mean, it's like gross. I'm not a runner. And man, as I literally had my finger on the delete button, and I heard this still small voice that said, "Now, the risen king lives inside of that body. Do not delete that picture or share it." And I was like, okay. So then I prayed about, what I would share. So I posted to social media, which is always dangerous. And I just shared that this is weird because a lot of people don't realize this, but men have body issues also. And there's a stigma with it, And especially if you're in a community of svelte athletes who all look like they're chiseled. Not here in the dome, though. Got to throw that theory out here. There are some chiseled athletes here, but there are many who look just like Mikey. But you get this imposter syndrome and you have this shame of what your body looks like. And this morning, when I was praying about it, God just said, "I don't care what your body looks like. The risen king lives inside that body. Do you understand what that means? The risen, the one and only king that has ever risen from the dead lives inside my body in his spirit." And I was like, whoa, that's kind of special. So as I was, just continued to just kind of dwell on that thought, because God's a smart aleck to me. And I don't know why. He said, "Don't you think you ought to lay that sack of rocks down?" Was like, yeah, I guess I have been carrying that around for a while. So here in the dome, there's a sack of rocks laying someplace in a corner where I laid down the sack of rocks of body shame and I'm not good enough, and decided to step into what he has for me and believe all he has for me. It's been a life-changing thing already, and I'm only on day four.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So just excited. Can't wait to see what else is gonna happen. And right now we're an hour and a half away from dinner. And I'm sure it's gonna be awesome, stupendous, and wonderful. And we're just taken really good care of here. I mean, I would say if people wanna, and there are people doing all kinds of stuff. There's a gal that's doing the 12-hour right now that I think she's maybe 5 hours in. She's already at like 42 miles. Let that sink in for a second. She's probably going to hit, 50 miles in like 7 hours. What time is it? Four. So she's got 5 more hours to go in 12 hours. So 7 hours. So she's at 7 hours and 42 miles. So she's probably going to hit a 50 miler in 8 and a half, 9 hours. That's a fast 50 miler. So yeah, there's just all kinds of amazing athletes here watching them just lay down record after record after record. Honored to be part of it. So, having a blast.
Cool. So proud of you, babe. Keep running your race. Keep hearing his
Got it.
voice.
I plan on it. And I can't wait
And
till you get here.
I'll see you tomorrow night.
You got it. I love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Awesome.
Welcome. Oh, welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. This is Ginny. I'm here with finisher of the 2024 Six Days in the Dome with 322 mile winner of a belt buckle, Mike Horner. Are you ready to go for a run, Mike?
I would normally say yes, I'm ready to go for a run, but my feet are just a little tender, so I might just say maybe tomorrow.
How about a little walk tomorrow? That might be
Okay, a
good.
little walk tomorrow. That would be good. Yeah. It would be good
Okay.
to get my feet in motion. My feet are still a little bit swollen, especially the left one, but life is good 'cause that was a tremendous race. Had
Well,
a blast.
tell us a little more about it.
Well, I think we left off on day four. So I'll kind of start with the nighttime of day three, because I think the last time we talked was probably Thursday afternoon or so. So Thursday afternoon, I was sitting somewhere around 180 miles, I think, when we talked. And I just happened to jump on the little tracking app and saw that, if I put a little effort into it, I could like jump up. At the time, I was like in 15th place. And I was like, you know, if I actually started kind of belting out some miles here, I could climb the leaderboard here. And I didn't even realize this was in me, but I realized I was a little bit competitive. And so I started putting a little more effort in. And, yeah, day four night and day five became really, really interesting. It was a lot of fun. And so I started climbing the leaderboard, and there were two people who were chasing me. So the morning of day five, one of the people that was chasing me came in, and I had passed him during the night. And he goes, "Mike, I'm gunning for you." And usually I'm just like, whatever, you know, because I'm just not. But something rose up inside of me. And I was like, okay, if you're going to come for me, you better bring it all. Because I said, I'm not stopping. At the time, I was probably at right at about 197 miles. And I was thinking, you know, it'd be nice to hit like 250 or something like that. That was kind of what I was thinking was possible, is because I mean, my feet were so murderously sore at the time that I was thinking, yeah, maybe 250, 250 miles be good. And so this dude started just kind of pile on the miles. Now, the first day he had run 122 miles, but his feet were so trashed. The second thing he did like 32 miles. And so that was what allowed me to kind of catch up to him and everything. But it became a very friendly competition between him and another lady from California who's done, this was her fourth time at 6 days in the dome, running the 6 day. And she really wanted, you know, it's funny. So we're not fighting for a top 10 position or like a podium. Like none of us are going to come close to a podium, but those two were like, I want the number 11 position. And I'm like, once I got the 11 position, I was like, nah, I'm keeping it. I'm going to finish this race with the number 11 position. And so the competitiveness took over, and I am proud to say that I beat off both my competitors, and I finished in the 11th position. So it
You
was
go.
it was funny. It was a way to overcome a lot of the feelings that you had at the time, because there was just so much going on. My body hurt in places that I didn't even realize bodies could hurt. Desitin became my very good friend somewhere in day five. And that was really interesting. But yeah, and you know, the best part was day five in the evening. I was probably feeling my most miserable. And this girl walked into the arena. I mean, she was the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my entire life. And my whole world changed. Do you know who it was?
Ooh.
It wasn't Sandra Bullock who walked into the arena. It was the most beautiful woman who has ever walked the face of the earth. My forever girlfriend, Virginia Horner.
And it was quite the experience for me. I walked into this huge building and then into this huge double ice arena with a track around it and a million people all around. Well, probably not a million people, but very disorienting. Glary lights, loud music, people everywhere. No idea where Mike was. But soon he came trotting around the track and told me where his table was, and we got into a groove of
A kiss
turn
every
around,
lap.
a kiss. It was love. I gotta say, that was really nice in the controlled environment of 55 degrees and 30% humidity. I could kiss him every lap because he wasn't sweating. He wasn't covered in mud. He wasn't covered in bugs. He wasn't covered in spider webs. It was really quite nice to get to kiss him every round. So I don't know, that might turn out to be my favorite race ever.
It was awesome. It's really a treat. That's the first time in 10 years of running ultras that I've gotten a hug.
Exactly. Yeah, and it wasn't even bad to hug him because he was dry.
I was stinky, but I was dry.
You were stinky. You truly
Yeah.
were stinky, but the stink didn't get on me, so that was okay.
Yeah. So it was weird because when you got there, I mean, I just hurt everywhere. I mean, it was just the pain in my feet was beyond reeling. I hadn't gotten any good sleep. I think the last time I really got good sleep was Tuesday night after I finished up. Wednesday night was probably the most horrible night of sleep I'd gotten. It felt like somebody was prodding me with electric needles and from my knees on down. Could not find a comfortable position. It was crazy. You got there, none of that went away, but the feeling I got was everything's going to be okay. Jenny's here. Everything's going to be okay. I'm just going to finish this thing up. And I think our mantra, I think we said it a bunch, was the miles are going to be what God gives me the miles to be. But I knew that I was going to keep on moving strongly. And
Exactly.
yeah.
Because you
So,
didn't go out there to quit and
yep.
you didn't quit. You kept going. And it didn't hurt that you do have competitiveness in you and you kept rolling and you picked it up and it was quite exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it was really amazing. So, the thing I'm proudest about this race. So, day one, I did my usual and went out probably a little bit too fast and finished up with 74 miles. But then day two, three, and four, I was 48, 49, and 50. Day five was probably my roughest day. I was exhausted. I probably took more sit-down breaks on day five than I had any other day. And I ended up with 200 with 44 miles. And I was
Right.
like, I gotta really pick it up because then at the time it was I was running with Ed, the Jester Ettinghausen. And he said, Mike, he said, you're really close. If you put in a good last day, you can really go over 300 miles and then wake up in the morning of the last day sometime and see what you end up with at the end of the day. And so I kind of took it to heart, and you went upstairs to the little sleeping room on at probably around 7 o'clock after we ate dinner together
Yep.
on day five. And it was day five. And I just said, okay. I no, it was now we're into day six because obviously we started noon. So we're into day six. And about 7 o'clock you went up to go to bed. And that was when Ed said, if you just kind of stay at it, he said you could hit 300 and then go to bed. Don't go to bed until after you hit 300. And so I stayed out there and Lisa George's came by and she said, what are you shooting for? And I said, man, I'd really like to hit, 300 before I go to bed. And so she actually stayed with me for a while with Manila Kokta. They both kind of, got into a groove. Probably the best thing that could have happened to me that night happened. Ivo, and I can't pronounce his last name, who is the Czechoslovakian, who is the number one race, ultra race walker in the year. Kind of took me under his tutelage. And the way that it happened is I'd been watching him walk very, very fast all through the race. And it was probably about 10 o'clock at night. He passed me, and I just said, I'm going to copy everything he does. And so I got on his heels and I just watched his arm swing. I watched the way that he was planting his feet. And I realized that he didn't pick his feet up far at all. I mean, if they came a quarter inch off of the surface, it was amazing. And so I just started copying what he was doing. Well, he turned around and he just sort of smiled and he just kept on going. And I just kept on copying what he was doing and copying what he was doing. Well, before I knew it, we had gone together for me following him for over an hour. And then he just turned around and he stopped on the track and he said, okay, that was your lesson. I have to take a break. I'm tired. And so he sat down. I sat down, at my table. He sat down at his table. And I just kept on trying to do that through the night. Fell in with some other people. It was really exciting because Meg Eckert was there and she realized that, you know what, I could set the new record for, 6 days in the dome. And so she got re-energized and realized that she could surpass, and not just the women's record, the record for most amount of miles at 6 days in the dome. And so she got energy, which gave it seemed to energize everybody in the arena. And it was just so exciting because there's just a buzz because everybody's just sitting there going, amazing things are going to happen. Joe Cleary was really close to setting the over 80 record. And so he got energized. David Blaylock, 81 years old, he was like, can set a record. Bill Hildenbrand, I think it is, something like that. He's 81 years old and he was going after a record. He realized that if he just kept on going. So I'm like watching these 80-year-olds not stop. And I'm like, daggone if I'm going to stop before I hit 300. And so I hit 300 at about 12:20 at a.m. And it was amazing. It was such an incredible feeling. But then I tried to go upstairs and sleep, and that was not such an incredible feeling. And I still need to apologize to my beautiful wife, who I disturbed greatly. I'm sorry, Jenny.
It's okay, darling. You finally got a little bit of sleep, and I got enough sleep. And tell us how the next day went.
So the next day, I got up around 4:15. I woke up, Tiger balmed my feet. I could not put toe socks on the last day. And so Jenny was sweet enough to have brought me some non-toe socks. And so I crammed my feet in some non-toe socks, knowing that I was probably going to get blisters, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. So I started out with 300 miles and, the next thing that happened was somebody said, hey, Mike, if you keep on moving strong, you can hit 500K. And I was like, okay, I didn't even know that was a thing. But they're like, 500K is a huge 6 day mark to hit. And I was like, okay, I'll just keep on going. So around seven, probably around 8 a.m., I hit 500K. And here's where my competitiveness kicked in again. If you remember, we had breakfast together
Yep.
and I was like, I'm going to stop as soon as I hit 500K.
Yep.
Take a shower.
Yep.
But these two who were behind me, Marcia and Eric, they were not giving up. They wanted position number 11, which still just cracks me up because it's not 10. None of us were going to hit 10 because at 10 was the warrior princess from New Zealand, the Kiwi who would not quit, Fiona Hayvice. And she was my most favorite moment of the race was when she was down and first Lisa Georges stopped to encourage her. Like she was down and out. I mean, this was Saturday night. Her body had just quit on her. I mean, she was very down. And first Lisa stopped and she encouraged her. And then, I went by a couple laps and passed her, and finally I just stopped, and it was just the sweetest thing because I called her a warrior princess, and she told me a story about her dad and had a good cry. We hugged, and I was like, she's not going to quit because you could see all of a sudden it was like, okay, I'm going to beat off Mike. Mike's not going to catch me, and she stayed out until probably, I want to say she probably stayed out until about 2 a.m. and then went down. But she put a lot of miles on and then was back up before I was on that last day. So I hit 500K and I was going to stop, but Eric and Marsha were right there on my heels. In fact, Marsha had actually passed me at one point. trying to catch up to her. And so it became, okay, where is she on the track? All right, so she's around that next corner. All right, so I gotta get my little butt in a hustle here. And I would see her, and then looking around to make sure Eric's not gonna pass me, because I was like, if I can get it became this weird thing, because I was like, if I can get a 10 lap lead on Marsha, that'll put me with a 10 lap lead on Marsha and a 20 lap lead on Eric. So I just kept on pounding it, and that was the whole goal. I fell in with Evo again sometime in the morning, probably around 10 o'clock, and he said, all right, let's go. And we were putting down some really fast laps, and then he got much faster. So I was not able to keep up with him. That's probably why he's world record holder for ultra race walking, is he was probably walking 9:45 to 10 minute miles at the end. And I was just like, I can't even run that right now. It was awesome. I finally got a 12 lap lead on Marsha and a 23 lap lead on Eric. And then all of a sudden, the weirdest thing happened. I don't even know where this came from. They announced that there were 30 minutes left. And all of a sudden, my lap times magically really got fast. And the last four laps, so I've been averaging probably 4:30 to 5 minute laps, which sounds pretty slow now that I think about it. But my best lap of the entire race had been a 2:57 lap. And that was on day one, when I was full of energy and zeal and thinking I could conquer the world and run 2:57s for the rest of my life, which is, silly. But so the last five laps that I ran were a 4:22, a 4:09, a 3:51, a 3:16, and a 3 minute lap, and finished with 322 miles. That last lap, I had tears flowing out of my eyes, because I came through the second to the last lap, and they announced my name and everything, and I was like, I'm not stopping. I got 4 minutes. I think I had four. It was 11:56:23, and I was like, I can make it another lap. And so I was not stopping, and I just put everything I had into the last lap. And so the last lap, I got tears coming out of my eyes, because I was like, I am putting everything in. I'm crossing that before it hits noon. And I did. And so I learned a lot about myself during this race. It was just incredible. So yeah, it was a good race.
It was really fun listening to the announcer say, "Okay, I'm going to announce 10 minutes. Watch all these zombies turn it back into ultra runners." And it seriously happened. Like everyone who was shuffling their feet and about to die, suddenly they took off. I'm from the 86-year-olds down to the, I don't know who the youngest person in there was, but the zombies definitely turned back into ultra runners. And it was a fun time. It was a neat venue. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was funny. Mike Melton, the race director, asked me at the end. He said, "Would you come back again?" And I looked at him, and it was like, and I so wanted to say, "No way." And but
Right?
you know what? I had such a amazing time that I was like, I probably would go back and do that again.
It made me think of summer camp. Like you're
Yes.
out there with all your buddies and you're at summer camp and there's no air conditioning in the cabins and there's bugs and there's yuck and there's stink and it's no fun and the food's yucky. Now, this was totally opposite situation. It was good food. The weather was very controlled. There were no bugs. The sleeping was a little camp-like. Quite camp-esque, as we all were in one big room on variations of air mattresses and cots and sleeping bags straight on the concrete floor and camping mattresses. And, every time somebody rolled over, you heard it. And every time somebody snored, you heard it. And every time the elevator came up, the bell rang, and every time the elevator went back down, the bell rang, and it just made me feel like it was like adult summer camp.
And you know what's true about that? At the end, nobody wanted to leave.
Yeah.
I know,
The
but no,
race
nobody
direct the
wanted to
race
leave.
directors did want to leave. They were
Oh yeah, they did.
tired. They put on an awesome, amazing, incredible event, and you'll have to say their names.
Yeah, Mike Melton and Bill Schultz are two of the finest race directors I've ever been privileged to run a race under. These
They
guys,
worked their heinies off, and
they
the end
did.
of the race
They
is
did.
when even more of it began, and they'd been there for more than 10 days. So
Yeah.
definite kudos to them. It was really a special adventure, and I might go back again maybe for a 5-year reunion. Who knows?
There you go. 5 years? That seems like a long time to go back. Maybe
You know,
I've
yeah.
already told you not 2025, but
Right?
20, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe.
2026, maybe
Maybe
2026.
2025, maybe
No,
2025.
no, 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 no,
Huh?
no, no.
Oh, why?
2025 is
Oh, yours, yours, yours.
mine.
Yeah,
2025 is mine.
but you know, we've put Swami Shuffle on the, you know, hey, we're gonna run this every year, and we put Cape Fear 24 Hour
At
on the, I'm gonna run this every year,
the end, the
and
end.
we
Those
might
are the
just have to
two.
put
No,
6 days. Maybe
six.
I'll do the 10 day next time.
No, absolutely not. No,
Yeah,
no. So we will say that Mike overpacked, and we carried back 220,000 tons of unused scratch, unused peanut butter Bobo bars. He did eat up all of the salted caramel
yes, I did.
waffles, though. He did eat up all of
All
those.
20 of those.
I did not even get one of those,
Yeah.
but yeah, it was quite the
Well,
adventure.
I started out, it's going to be interesting to count because I started out with 44 Bobo bars, 20 honey waffles. There were 50 of my little peanut butter packs. And I started out with 60 scratch pouches and came back with 40.
Came back with 40, yeah.
so that's the only one I know because there were two bags of 20,
Yeah.
and I know I used up the little,
Yeah.
you know, Tupperware thing of all
Well,
my
there were
scratch.
six left. There were
Were there?
six. So you
Okay.
only use 14 scratches. So, and then the really strategic thing that we did is we had the Uber driver put the dirty, stinky, disgusting suitcases in Mike's car so that I could just bring up a load of laundry at a time and not stink up the whole entire house with stinky running clothes. But again, the stink is minimalized by the coolness in there. 55 degrees is pretty chilly if you're not moving. And so if you're ever going to be a spectator, please dress warm, bring a hat, bring gloves, bring a scarf, bring warm things for your feet. Definitely a comfy chair and a blanket is necessary if you're going to stay in the ice rink. It was a blast
Yeah, absolute
for two
blast.
days
Yeah. It was a
for
blast for
my
6 days.
day and a
Yeah.
half. It was
It was,
great.
yeah, my 6 days was just, it was amazing. Met incredible people from all over the world, you know, Japanese runners, Indian runners. And I have to say this, the world better watch out because there's some amazing Indian ultra runners out there and they don't have any quit in them. They're tough, tough runners. And so people should start paying attention to what's coming out of India. But then, yeah, Czechoslovakia, Poland. Oh my gosh, the Polish guy, Paul Zuk, is just, if you could model yourself after anybody, it would be Paul. I mean, his tenacity, his determination was just out of this world. The other thing that I really admired this one couple, and I'm hoping that I can convince them to come on the podcast. Joel and Alana Rich came from Gainesville, Florida, and they took a bus because Alana doesn't like to fly, and so Joel, who could have flown and could have afforded for both of them to fly, they took the bus 26 hours, arrived Sunday evening around 7 o'clock, set up all their stuff, you know, got a table, set up their stuff upstairs, fell asleep upstairs, got up, and Joel was the fourth male and I think seventh overall with 380 something miles. And Ilana did her first 100 miler and she was going to stop at 100 miles and end up with 138. That'll just show you that, you know, go ahead, say you're going to stop. You get into the thing and you don't stop. So, but I was so proud of them because they were just, they cared about everybody. They encouraged everybody as they went around. It was an amazing race. I mean, just, yeah, it was fun. So
Lots of
my,
smiles, lots of
yeah.
encouraging people, and
Yeah,
I'll let you take us out of here.
my
Oh, yes.
reputation became the good cheer guy, which was
And the
good
weatherman.
sometimes, and the
Give us your,
weatherman.
please give us your weather
Okay,
advisory.
so my weather advisory for all mornings, I think starting with the fourth morning, was good morning. I'm Mike, and I'm your weatherman, and here's your daily weather report. It is going to be 55 degrees today, 35% humidity, and it's going to feel a wee bit chillier than that. Today, there is a slight chance of pain with a 99.9% chance of discomfort. And then I'd bury it, something like that. And people just laughed. And as I went around the track, I told everybody the weather report.
I
And
love that.
yeah, and
So
it gave everybody a smile.
tell us what you think living an ultra life means to you after running 6 days in the dome.
I think what it means to me is that you are capable of so much more than you actually think you are, and you can push yourself to do greater things than you think. And probably the most important thing is when you serve the God of the impossible, anything is possible.
Well, Mike, thank you for your time this evening. That will be it for this week's episode of
Living an Ultra Life.
Thanks for listening.